Christian rock band Switchfoot sings a song that asks a very timely question. I had to ask my kids about Switchfoot because I don't listen to that particular genre of music. How many of you know of Switchfoot? Okay, so you do, and your iPods probably have this very song. But before I share the lyrics of the song, This Is Your Life by Switchfoot, a mention of the name Switchfoot. I did a little search. Thought it was curious. Do you find it a weird name? It's like the 1,000-foot crutch or 100-foot or 100-mile. 100-foot? 1,000. I was right the first time. 1,000-foot crutch. Anybody want to take a stab what that one means? Because the band doesn't even know what it means, okay? But they picked it. Anyway, Switchfoot is a very curious and I think very revealing name. They're a band of five from San Diego. And before music, surfing was their life. They loved the beach. They loved the waves. And they would often be found there with their board and just waiting for the perfect set. And that was just part of who they were. Well, Switchfoot, in fact, is a surfing term. And according to the lead singer, guitarist John Foreman, he said this about the name for the band, Switchfoot. "We all love to surf and have been surfing all our lives. To switch your feet means to take a new stance facing the opposite direction." Is that cool? Now, I'm half tempted to have you stand up right now and switch feet. But you get the idea, right? They're going this way, and then he wants to switch and go another direction. And he concludes, Switchfoot is about change and movement. I thought, wow. For surfers, they had it dialed in, didn't they? And that's sharp. Now, on this, the last Sunday of the year and of the decade, I think it's fitting to ask a Switchfoot question. In their song, This Is Your Life, a very personal point is made and an equally personal question is asked. Check out these words. "Yesterday is a wrinkle on your forehead. Yesterday is a promise that you've broken. And then, as though to assume you're sort of wandering right now or drifting in the lyrical unfolding of the song, they say, don't close your eyes, don't close your eyes. This is your life, and today is all you've got now. Yeah, today is all you'll ever have." Once again, the admonition. So don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. As though assuming some of us might, in fact, be tuning out already. Talk about a personal point. Today is all you'll ever have. Because if you think about it, the word tomorrow, we're even admonished in James' words in chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. "Come now, you who say," and there's an undertone of certainty in your voice, that's why he said it this way, "you who say tomorrow we're going to get up and we're going to go do this and this and this, you don't have tomorrow." That's what James was saying. You don't have it in the bag. Instead, you should say, "If the Lord wills and tomorrow shows, then I'm going to do that." Today's all you've got. A little bit like Jesus' words in the middle of his famous Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters cover that. Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34 starts out, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Today has enough troubles of its own." Now for the Switchfoot personal question. The song goes on to ask this. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this phrase down. I think it's worth buying the song. So if you want to get the song from iTunes, it's probably worth 99 cents for you to do so. Here's the personal question. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Many of us have spent time this year on a journey. We've called it a journey with Jesus. And it was a journey that began all the way back at the beginning of 2009, this very year. January 4th was the first Sunday. And on that Sunday, we looked into God's Word. And in response to the very first invitation recorded in the four Gospels, the first invitation in the New Testament, in fact, given by Jesus in just two words recorded in John's Gospel. You don't need to turn there. Just listen to these two words. In fact, write these down. He said it, this invitation, in two transforming or switchfoot words. Follow me. That was it. That was his simple John chapter 1, verse 43, invitation. And if you remember that far back, he said it with a finger pointed at you and at me, perhaps with our name even included. You, Steve, follow me. From there, we embarked on a daily discovery that resulted from this journey with Jesus, where many of us have read a chapter a day through the four Gospels. There are 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So for this year, we have read a chapter a day. Some of you have put together a nice little reading schedule that has helped you sort of stay on course throughout the year. And if you're doing the math right now, that lets you and me, as we've done, walk through the four Gospels four times this year. And we're wrapping up John's Gospel again this week. So today, I'd like to take some time before I share with you sort of a vision for this coming year to reflect on my journey with Jesus. And when I think of journeys with Jesus, I think of obviously, the figurative, metaphorical journey with Jesus. You and I daily meeting with Jesus four times through the Gospels. I also think of a journey with Jesus as a literal journey, like the folks you're about to look at live from Honduras this very moment. The Wiggs family. Hello, Brian, Natasha, Michael, Brian, Mike. There we go. Brian, James. There they are. That's really live.
How's it going?
And you caught me without my sunglasses on, you guys.
You know, it's bright here, so, you know, we're just kind of, in case you forgot where you put yours, you can look for them later.
Okay, baby. So, from the looks of it, I can't see a sweater on anything, so it's
fair
to say it's a little too warm for sweater.
We've lost your audio.
We've lost our audio. We're working.
There you go.
Okay. I don't see sweaters on you. Is there a reason for that?
It's about 85. Getting ready to go pick some bananas and things like that, you know, watching the butterflies fly around.
Absolutely. Now,
pretty good.
You've journeyed a lot this year, obviously, first and foremost with Jesus, but you've journeyed to a foreign land. If you're not familiar with this family of four, they're the Wiggs family, and they met Jesus here at Grace Point and are now full-time missionaries with Action International. And actually, they work with the MICA project in Honduras. And it's incredible what God has put together here. They've been there how long now?
Month and 2 months.
I think that's a little over a month. Month and a half, right, John? Tell us, is that the tree? I want to just ask a question or two about your surroundings there. Is that they prayed so specifically, as many of us did, for God to lead them and lead their lives. One of the specifics was the tree. You really wanted a tree that you could make a tree fort in and all that. Is that the tree we're looking at?
That is the tree. That is the tree.
That's the tree. Now,
there you go. A little,
you don't
don't have a tree fort made yet. What have you been doing with all your time?
Eating bonbons and watching Spanish soap opera.
Running from spiders.
All right. Muy bien. Here we go.
No, it's been an incredible and hard journey so far. I mean, transition has been anything but simple. But yeah, we look for the moments that are before us each day as we did there. And God really paved the way as we got here and we began to look at the Friday afternoon Street Kids soccer program, and we kind of kicked that up a notch to where Tosh is now making the meal every Friday night. And last 2 weeks ago when we did it, we actually were able to cut hair and wash feet, and the young men there, it was really interesting because we made enough food for them to eat as much as they wanted. And they got to a point where they realized that there was going to be enough, that there was more. Please. And millennials. Sorry.
You know what, Brian?
The young man who 2 years ago pulled a knife on us in the market, wouldn't let us wash his feet, sat in a chair, melted. He didn't have to stuff the food in his pockets or anything like that. He just sat there with his feet in a tub of warm water, no glue bottle. And I saw a moment of clarity. I saw eyes that were clear. It wasn't just with him, but it was with all the young men that were there. So we're looking for more of those moments. As I told the Armstrongs last night, that they're going to be high, they're going to be this and that, but we look for the moments of clarity where that they can truly see Christ in us on a daily basis.
Oh, I know that's going to be happening. It's already. Natasha, we want to ask you. Your journey has been no less significant and profoundly unique. You were a mother and a wife here, but being a mother and a wife there adds to it the hat of school teacher and a few other. I understand you have a new affection for spiders. Is that true? We lost your audio too. Hold on just a sec.
Okay. I've had two spider moments that just about got me on a plane back to Portland. The tarantula on the front door, and then we had a spider, about that big, in the bedroom. So, no, I don't like spiders. I don't like bugs. but I told Brian I can't let the bugs ruin my life here, so... you know, Terminex is now my friend. We pay them every month. But it has been a journey. It's been difficult. I have a whole new appreciation for school teachers. God bless you all, because it is not an easy job. And I'm learning that faith is not a one-time deal. It's something that I have to surrender my will to each and every day, and sometimes each and every hour. There have been more than a few times that I, as John said, I've wondered, what in the world did we do? But it's good. It's growing. It's hard. We know we're on the right path, and we're just going to keep walking the way he wants us to every day.
Here and ask the questions.
lost your audio.
Are you able to hear us now?
There it is. It's coming up.
We've just been praying that Michael and Brian James would find friends. Did that happen?
Yeah, we have friends, some people we met, some missionaries that live about 500 yards down the road, right next to President-elect Pepe Lobo, and they have three children, and they come down. They were down here hanging out yesterday, so things are good. Things are moving in a direction, and, you know, it's like Kosh said, and I said, it's not easy. Might write a book, say, so you want to be a missionary, huh? So it's definitely work. And just the basic things, going to the store and the things that we take that are so easy and we take for granted, there become a much more difficult task here.
I love your expression, you know, so you want to be a missionary. And I can almost see Jesus saying something similar. So you want to be a Christian or you want to be a follower of me. And in fact, the rest of the morning is going to be about that. What does the journey look like? Because the journey hasn't ended for us. It continues. And, you know, Jesus was the one. This will come up later. And I know you guys are going to stand by and sort of have worship with us this morning. But Jesus was the one that said, if anyone wants to come after me, you want to follow me? Well, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and do so. And you're indeed doing that. And the same applies to us right here back at home.
Shout out to everybody here. Love you. Feliz Nuevo Años.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There we go. Happy New Year. We love y'all. Give it up there.
Love you.
Man. And by the way, you can ask Pastor Aaron or Pastor John how to get linked up like this. You can talk with them like this all day long if you want, but they're busy. They've got things to do. But it's really amazing. It's called Skype, and it's a great way for you to just stay linked up directly with, and it's all free. It's all part of the internet. So it's the device is about $20. So it's really, you know, accessible if you're interested in that, want to stay closely connected. They mentioned the Armstrongs who are here this morning. And do you Skype with them too at home? Yeah, so it's really cool. It's easy to do. And we just thought that would be a special treat. Sort of developing this idea, I would love Pastor John and Pastor Aaron, I think, is going to come and grab a mic. We just want to take a few moments this morning before I share with you the vision for the next year. To talk a little bit about our journey, discoveries you've made on your journey with Jesus this year. And it's a chance for you to just put it in your own words. Be personal about it. Be as deep and sort of revealing, transparent as you like, or talk about, you know, whatever it is. You got to know Jesus more this year, just like I did. And what are some of the impressions that have come your way as a result of your journey with Jesus this year? We want to just get us started. Doesn't give up on you. Yeah. And That's as fundamental and important truth for a brand new Christian, or Lee, someone that's been a believer for how long? 40 years. I like it. He doesn't give up on us. Other. Wendy?
I haven't really suffered much this year, but I have some friends that have been through some pretty severe suffering. And I really found so much growth in them, in the Lord. And so I've really come to my heart that true growth really comes through suffering.
Can I just add a footnote to suffering? I have read a lot about suffering. John 15, 1 Peter, 2 Timothy.
The Bible makes it very clear, in case you forgot, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. That's just plan on it. Yeah, I see. We're going to get a microphone to you in just a moment. Jean, there we go. There's a microphone.
You were saying, be still and know that I'm God. Every situation I had this year, it seemed that that verse came to me. Be still and know that I am God. And then prayer came in. Praise God.
Praise God. That's right. Others in your journey with Jesus this year. Clear in the back. Dale?
Many of you know, we have a large family, so one of the things that happens with a large family, you have a lot of events that happen in a year. We celebrated my mother's 100th birthday this year, and just the other day we got an announcement. Amanda and her husband, Ben, are expecting. That's 100 years span of life. And we also had my wife's father had a stroke this year. He's recovering. He's back at home. He's doing really well. But it shows you have times in your life that are not going to be there forever. Mm. And you need to seize the moment. Mm-hmm. That's what it taught me today. Seize the moment.
Others? No script to follow, just something from your life. The bride-to-be, Lola.
It is wonderful just to know that our Lord is there for us every single day. Whether we feel down, hurt, or we're loved, we know He's there for us. And the Lord has answered so many of my prayers this year. It is just beautiful. It's beyond me how He forgives me every time I have a thought in my mind, every time I say something wrong. I can just go back to Him, and I know He will forgive me. Mm. And I just am loved by Him all the time. Mm. Wow.
Julie?
We were singing this morning, Strength Will Rise, as we wait upon the Lord. And I used to sing that song in a desperate time, just begging for Him to strengthen me. And I found myself today singing it just in joyful praise to be able to look back and see how He has been so faithful and has made me stronger in Him. And the verse I've always clung to in the last few years especially has been Philippians, in Philippians 4. It starts with rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, lift your prayers to the Lord, and He will give you the peace that transcends all understanding. And I would pray that, and the rejoice in the Lord part, I would say it, but I would really have a hard time saying it, but knowing that, having the faith that God would see me through. And now, today, I think you do think of pain and suffering, and it does transform you into a stronger Christian and a stronger relationship with Christ. So I welcome the challenges. I find that is when I grow the most. And if that is how we grow and become closer to Jesus, then bring it on. So.
Wow. You could almost change the lyrics, huh, Julie? That strength will rise, strength did rise, right? It has risen. I'm waiting on the Lord. Gary?
Is it on? I guess it's on. I just want to express my appreciation and thank you for this congregation and the generosity that our church family does consistently. Not only do we support the Whigs and missions of different varieties, but this church, through the monthly contributions to the deacon and deaconess funds, reach out to the community in a tremendous way. And Mary and I have personally been involved with a family, as you have. Some of you know Angie, and some of you probably are not aware of her struggle, but it's been well over a year since we became acquainted with Angie and her three boys without a job. And through this church, she now has a job, but she hasn't worked for, I don't know, probably between four and five weeks now, but thanks to the generosity of the people she works for, she still has a job to get back to, but she has had H1N1 and other problems that is just incredible. And in addition to this congregation helping, there's a number of individuals in this group have also come forth to assist this family and other families that we are aware of. And I just want to, again, share my thanks and praise to God for you and the work that He is doing through all of us.
Come clear down here, John. Go ahead, Don.
As many of you are aware of, I've been going through kidney dialysis this past 12 months, which in itself has been a great challenge. But each time as my faith grows, God challenges me even more so. I've had 5 catheters put in, and I've had 4 infections, but God always delivered. And then when I felt comfortable, I totaled my SUV. My first accident that I've ever had. And so, you know, it just reminds me in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and He will direct your paths."
Pam?
Yes. I claim that scripture that Don just said. You know, we have not seen the switch foot of family members that we've been praying for years. And even though they have not turned around in their life, we are confident that God is there knocking on their door, and He's waiting for them to open the door. And so we know that, you know, even though we continue to sorrow over their turning away from the Lord, we still have that confidence that God is there for them, but they're the ones that have to make that choice.
Amen. Don't ever doubt God's desire for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Pam, and many of you turn in the names of family and loved ones and friends that you got nothing, you got no, you know, selfish interest in their names except a deep, desperate, in some cases, longing to see them know the Jesus that you know. I think that's very huge. Wow. Thank you. There's, I'm sure, plenty of others that you can tell the implications of a journey like we've been on with Jesus are really endless. And I hope you'll have a chance to talk about it. Maybe you didn't share this morning, but you, or you haven't even been part of this journey this year in this specific way. You'll take some time before the year's out and maybe journal it or discuss it over coffee. You know, this is something that I'm not this person I used to be in this area because of a journey I've been on with Jesus Christ. And there are, you know, of course, countless benefits that come as a result of such a journey. And I want to encourage you to keep it up in that regard. I really want you to know that I believe the need for a Jesus focus is great. And I say that because the me focus in my world, in your world, is constant. It's constant. Jesus emphasized that with the words that I shared with Brian and Natasha and Brian James and Michael a little bit ago. if anyone wants to come after me, you got to get over me. That is you. You got to get over self. Someone said it very succinctly. Forgetfulness of self is health, not according to American culture. Indulge self. Get everything you can possibly get, regardless of the implications, is a little closer to home for we Americans. But not God. Not God. So a Jesus focus, which is what flows from a journey like we've been on with Jesus, is hugely corrective and health-producing in our walk with Him. I believe the effects of our Christless culture have caused some of us to become consumer Christians. I say that with hurt in my heart, with grief in my heart. The number of takers today increases. The number of givers continues to decrease. Many take that same approach that you and I just took to the shopping malls this season. The kind of approach that says, I'm searching for the best deal and I won't give up until I've got it. We take that same approach oftentimes. The what's in it for me? How did this meet my needs? And if it doesn't meet my needs, I disappear. Sounds jolting, but I have seen it played out countless times. That's not going to get us more like Jesus and less like self. It's just not going to happen. There are words written by Paul to Timothy as Paul was about to leave this life and go be with God. And he said it very simply, but I have retreated to these words more this past year than at any time in my memory. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins his second to the last chapter of anything he ever wrote with that ominous sound. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Not leaving it up to guessing what that might look like, he then details it this way. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, and abusive. I ran out of gas yesterday. Is that stupid or what? I can't believe it. And I'm thinking, well, it's only about a mile home. I could hike home, you know. And then I thought, wait a minute, I got AAA. And I've never used it, so I called them up, and 15 minutes later, they were there. But I pulled off a busy road and into sort of a neighborhood of condominiums, a real tight, squeezed area. And I had to park. I was out of gas, so I just coasted and stopped. And I was right in the direction, I was across the little mini street from a condo and a direct line out of a garage. And wouldn't you know, I'm parked there and it's really cold and it's Debbie and Carissa with me and we're going to go to the mall and change out a few things and stuff. And we're just, you know, laughing. I said, I'm a lip turning blue, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. And then the garage door opens. And sure enough, the person that lives there needs to back out. Wouldn't you know, I'm in the direct line of fire. I mean, you know, and they start to back out, and Debbie says, honey, I don't think they know you're here. And I jumped out of the van, and I kind of walked up there, not trying to look like I was, you know. And it was a lady in about her 60s, and you could see her brake lights come on, and she's startled that I'm there. And I said, hi. I said, I'm sorry. She goes, sir, would you please move your van? I can't get out. I said, I wish I could. I'm out of gas. She went, oh, okay. And we started talking. And she says, you know, I thought for a second you might be that neighbor over there. And I said, why is that? She says, it's a gal that lives there. And whenever her boyfriend comes over, he parks right where you're at. And I asked him kindly, could you not park there? I've got a hurt shoulder and it's really hard. It's painful to look over and adjust all the adjustments you need to make for such a tight turn. She's sharing her life with me, and I said, "Oh, that's terrible." I said, "Are they adaptable to that?" She goes, "Absolutely not." He says, "Look, lady, someday I'm going to be paying your Social Security, so get over it." Now, people, I tell you that story because that's right out of a page of Scripture. That is, if that is not lovers of self, proud, boastful, abusive, what is it? I almost had if I saw a car out there, I knocked up on the door and said, "Look, here's the game needs to change, you creep." My wife would say, "Who Jesus died for, honey?" Okay, give it a break. All right, you get the idea here, right? We're in hard times. Abusive to parents, or disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. I'm still quoting from 2 Timothy 3. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, deceited, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are hard times to walk well with Jesus. Philip Keller wrote, I think very correctly, in saying, "There are many willful, wayward, indifferent, self-interested Christians who cannot really..." Don't take this as a quote. Hear the truth of this. "Who cannot really be classified as followers of Christ." He continues, "There are relatively few diligent disciples who forsake all to follow the Master." Can I take a stab at something? I think part of the reason you and I are so enamored, captured, almost consumed with the wig story, because for many of us, they're doing it. They're not perfect. They would come right back on the screen and say, "You got it wrong about us." So I'll ask the question again. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Your answer is no, not exactly. I want to suggest in this final moment of our last Sunday of this year, a way to walk more closely. And a way to walk more constantly with Jesus. Because the journey with Jesus continues. Until you breathe your last, it will continue. A walk with God daily through His Word is what I'm suggesting in this coming year. A walk with God daily through His Word. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Think about your answer. If in any relationship you can think of, a relationship with your spouse, a relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or some other person, if you want to grow in that relationship, this is you and this is them. And you want to grow. See my hands coming closer together? You want to grow closer. How you do that is not rocket science. It's not at all complicated. It comes the same in absolutely every relationship you can think of or I can think of. Time spent together. Will you write that down? Time spent together. How can I get closer to Debbie? Time spent together. How can I get closer to my kids? Time spent together. How can I get closer to my God? If you aren't close to someone you wish you were close with, and you don't change the way you're going about getting close. Okay? You, the person. You, God. If you're not close to that person like you would like to be, and don't change the way you've been trying to get closer, nothing will change. You realize that? And nothing will change. In other words, if you keep doing what you're doing, finish the sentence for me. You keep getting what you got. Or in the words of the contemporary theologian Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? Man, I want to be close. I want to be closer to Jesus. Really do. Are you closer today than you were a year ago? No. Why? I want you to take out a pen. Everybody take out a pen. There's a few hundred of them in the seats around you. Take out a pen, and I want you right now, please, on the blue sheet you were handed when you came in, I want you to rate your relationship with God. Okay? I want you to rate your relationship. No one's peeking. If it helps you be more honest, cover up your number. Okay? And here's how I want you to rate it. One, give yourself a one if it is weak, you and Jesus. If your relationship is weak, distant, okay? Or somehow not, you know, unsatisfying. Okay? If your relationship today is weak or distant or lacking, unsatisfying, your number needs to be down around the 1, 2, 3. You pick your, the scale is 1 to 10. If your relationship with God is intensely personal and intimate, so satisfying, your frequent prayer is, take me today, Jesus. I am so ready to be with you. Then you'll give yourself a higher number, an 8, a 9, even a 10. Okay, so you're rating your relationship with Him. Now, look at your number again. Regardless of your number, you need to walk with God in His Word daily. Why is that so important to say it that way? Because if your number is a 1, right now, the only way for it to become a 10 is through time spent together. If your number's a 10, the only way for it to stay a 10, time spent together. See how that works? You can't go on autopilot. Try that one in marriage. Try it in any relationship. Why are we so distant? What's happened to it? We were close once. Here's another grabber. Spend some time on this. What was your number a year ago or 5 years ago? Or when you first met Jesus? Starting January 1st, 2010, which is a week away, a little less than a week away, we're going to read the Bible clear through chronologically. How many have ever done it chronologically? All right, not near the hand. How many have ever read through the Bible? Okay, a lot more hands. Chronologically, in 1 year, you and I will journey through the Bible. I have in my hand the wonderful fruit and results of Vicki Kinez's amazing effort. Thank you, Vicki, big time. You will all get one of these. They're laminated, and they're the size that fits perfectly into most anybody's Bible. See how that tucks away? And it'll be a kind of a page reminder and that whole thing. But here's what makes it really fun. The Bible, for example, day one, Genesis 1 through 3. That's the chapters you'll read, 1, 2, and 3. Day 2, Genesis 4, 5, 6, and 7. Day 3, Genesis 8 through 11. Day 4, Job 1 through 5. Day 5, Job 6 through 9. Let me fast forward. If you were to find your way into somewhere in May, I'm not sure exactly what day, but let's take, you're in 2 Samuel now. And you come to chapter 11, which happens to be the story of David and his failure, his sexual sin with Bathsheba. Remember? Who could forget? Well, chronologically, that's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. The very next day, you're going to read Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm, I think it's 106, and three or four Psalms which come chronologically next in the unfolding of God's Word. And it'll take you all the way to the end of December. And by the end of the year, you and I will have read through God's Word completely, though in a very unique way, chronologically. And I'm just very excited for this this opportunity. The benefits are many. Listen to the summary statement from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be adequate, equipped for every good deed. All Scripture. I've listed on your outline some of the benefits. You see, God's Word will grow us as God's people. I'm not going to take the time to walk through all those, but let me ask you teenagers for you to think about something right now. Let's say you wanted to get bigger muscles. Some of us don't need bigger muscles, all right? But let's say you're a teenager, and I have three at home, and you're interested in bulking up. You want to get stronger, if you're in a sport, tougher, more dominant in your particular sport. And you were to talk to somebody involved in nutrition maybe a nutritionist, an exercise person, what kind of counsel would you be given? What do you suppose? Got to do it every day. So there's discipline in it. It's an everyday kind of thing. Yes. Okay, start out slow. Get there little by little by little. Got to change your habit because you're not big today or as strong today as you want to be. So you got to do something different to get there. I'm sorry? Proper nutrition, excellent. Ask any fitness, any nutritional advisor, and they will prescribe a combination of diet and what? Exercise. By the way, I've done that very thing this year. I said, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, and there's a nutritionist, a dietitian in our church, and I asked her for some counsel, and she's been giving me some really sound input. Guess what? It was diet and exercise. Every month? On Sunday? Of course, every day. It's the same way with God. Same is true when it comes to growing your relationship with God. It requires daily nutrition and exercise. Some of you, this is only coming off your shelf every so often. The hope is all that will change this coming year. And I believe you'll have the results that are listed and many, many more there. Please take the time later today to look that over, that list of benefits. you and I have a heart to follow Jesus in the new year, let me ask this question. Do you also have a heart to do so daily? We won't get help from our world either, as I've tried to make plain and clear this morning. It's not going to happen. Don't expect the consumer habits that have made their way into our approach in the Christian life to go along happily either with this new plan. The daily walk with God is good. You see, forsaking all won't come easily to those of us who seek to follow Christ daily. But I want to return one last time to the question I keep asking, thanks to Switchfoot this morning. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? If not, and part of what you want for your life is to be closer, a closer follower of Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to stand for a prayer of commitment to that end. Will you do so with me at this time? You say, this is my life, but I want it to be a closer walk with Jesus Christ in the coming year. You're standing now with me, pledging a commitment to that, to walk with God daily in His Word. God, I hold in my hand something that is pages of script. Words, sentences, paragraphs, chapters, books, whole testaments, and ultimately, Your Word spoken to me. My prayer today, God, is that not only will I be a man who spends time daily with You, time spent together with You, but that Your Word will work its way into me. Will You whisper this prayer right now to Him? Lord, I want to spend time in Your Word every day this year. And Lord, I want Your Word to be in me. And the result, a closer walk with You. Thank You for the challenge from Your Word this morning, Jesus. We sing to You now a final worship song for 2009. But worship doesn't end when we leave this room. Help us to be worshipers and followers of You and givers at every opportunity You present, even now as we give to You in Your wonderful name.